Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Sabbath Services. I don't know about you, but I know about me. After all the news that went on this week, I feel kind of beat up, especially with all the things that go on. And every single time they catch the president in bald-faced lies, there's a shooting. Makes you wonder. Well, that's not the biggest or greatest of our problems. Been a lot going on in the news. Have an article here, Why Obamacare is a Fantastic Success. The sum of the whole article is because it's doing everything to destroy the American economy, the middle class, and to destroy people's savings, and just wait till the banks fail. And all of a sudden, you will discover, as I have said, all the money in the accounts are theirs. Okay? Here's an article, Spiritual Treason Sunday. Dozens of churches read from the Quran. And also, a group of Protestant churches and the Catholic Ecumenical Movement have agreed to accept each other's baptisms. So here we're marching slowly, incrementally to one world religion, one world government, you see. Then there was another headline, because Obama, with all of this going on with the health care, couldn't go down to the meeting in Southeast Asia. And so the Chinese took the spotlight. And the Chinese premier said, now is the time to de-Americanize. And they're trying to get all of the gold that they can. They're buying gold while we're foolishly printing money. And they have set up two giant, not warehouses, but vaults to store gold. And so what they're doing to bypass the tungsten bars overlaid with gold, which came out during Clinton's presidency, all the gold that they're buying, they're shipping through Switzerland to have it melted down and put into Asian-style bars. And so they're trying to get as many... how shall we say, fortunes of gold to be stored there. And as I mentioned last week, all of the paper gold, you know what paper gold is? It's a bet. It's called an ETF. Now, the COMEX in America has set the price dollar-wise for gold along with the London Bullion Association market over in London. And an ETF is a paper gold. You go to a broker and say, I would like to buy a future position on gold. Okay, so you put in $100,000. Not many people have $100,000, but there are those who invest millions. And so the broker says, okay, we'll do it. Well, now they know that for every ounce of gold that is claimed by an ETF, which on a certain date when the ETF comes due, it says they will pay you in gold according to the price on the day that it matures. However, there's one little slight problem. All of the wonderful dishonest brokers and bankers have made ETF claims 50 for every ounce of gold. So remember when the gold dropped down all of a sudden, naked short? That was to scare everybody out of the ETFs. It scared a lot of people out of them. And they had to settle for cash. And Germany is not very happy with this, as I mentioned last Sabbath down in Arcadia, because they wanted to repatriate their gold from the American vaults. They said, you can't do it. Will pay you over a period of 7 years at best. So the whole financial situation is going to really get very, very desperate. Now combine all of these things together and we'll see what happens. So in order to, how shall I say, clear the air in my mind with all of these things that have been going on, we need to realize that when the society is ready to come down, there is stress on every side with everything. So we're stressed financially, we're stressed health-wise, we are stressed mentally, we are stressed with crime, and now we find out that for all the good things that we have had, here is an article, the end of antibiotics, because we have used so many that we have made people immune and the diseases that they carry immune to any antibiotic solution. So we won't see that. So in taking care of your health, be sure and realize there are many good natural things you can do. And if you don't know about them, there are a jillion books out there. And if you're online, you can search out anything you need and you can find a natural thing to help you. Okay? Comment was made, well, what did they do in the past when they used those natural things? They died. Well, what do they do today with all the modern medicines that don't work? They die. Okay? Now, wonderful, violent crime is up by 15% last year. Good news. Okay? Now they say lower gas prices are coming. That's only temporary. All right, and here are 25 statistics to prove that the American dream is being systematically destroyed. And that is because of what we are seeing happen politically. Just remember this. Every announcement by the White House, think the opposite, and that's their goal. Now then, all of these, oh, they're also finding out that Silicon Valley may really suffer a lot in the tunes of billions and billions of dollars because of the foreign countries pressuring all of the computer companies and the cooperation of Google and Yahoo, all the search engines, and all the various other agencies that are responsible for the information on people and governments and what the government is doing to spy, that many of those foreign countries are withdrawing anything to do with the American system, especially the cloud. You know what a cloud is? Not the one you look up in the sky. You know, the computer cloud. Computer cloud is a server somewhere in some building where you can store all your information, all available to the government. And remember, there are clouds without rain. So the day may come when you go to your cloud account, nothing is there. And it'll pop up a little sign and say, rained out. Okay. Now, all of these geniuses up in Silicon Valley with Raymond Kurzweil and the Singularity Universe, if you want a real interesting Google search, do that. Find out about Singularity University, where they plan to create immortality for mortal human beings, and the first thing we're going to do is to hook you up on all kinds of things. And the way that we're going to help you gain intelligence and gain information is every night you can back up to a computer and any book you want to read, boop, they'll transfer it right to your brain. Long article on that. Won't get involved with that. Okay? All right. Now, here's a warning concerning the banking system again. I probably have received 10 of those in this last week, and Jim has a DVD from the fellow who wrote the book, The Day the Dollar Crashes, And I gave sermons on that some numbers of years ago. Now, for the future, I got this wonderful book, Killing Jesus, by Bill O'Reilly and Martin Dugard. I knew he didn't write all of it. I'm going to go through it very thoroughly, but what I've already discovered, number one, he did not check the scriptures very thoroughly, if he checked them at all. Number two, he's got the wrong dates. Number three, he knows no purpose about why he died. And it is a semi-mythical history of the killing of Jesus from the Roman point of view and not from the scriptures. So I'm going to enjoy reading this, so you will hear some sermons as we get closer to Passover time. And I think it's interesting. He prides himself on being a historian and presenting the truth. And he doesn't like people who cherry-pick things for their own benefit. But guess what he did? He cherry-picked for his own benefit. He did not know anything about the Hebrew calendar, had no understanding of why Jesus had to die, etc. So it's going to be interesting reading. But we have one book, The Day Jesus the Christ Died, which sums it up very well. Okay? So those things will be there. I'm glad I didn't get the book Killing Kennedy or Killing Lincoln. That may be more factual than this, but from what I've seen, he takes certain things and from certain histories and works those in and weaves a tale of events. Now, all of those tales of events, oh, by the way, he says Christianity is a philosophy. And that the Gospels were not written down for several hundred years. So therefore, if something is only said once, I heard him say this on a program because he left something out, and someone questioned him about it, well, we don't know if that's historically true. How about four eyewitnesses, huh? And many more written. So that's what happens. All right. Now today we're going to cover why the world's in the mess that it is, and especially in the United States. I've got two articles here, one by Phil Neal and me, The Failure of Christianity in America, and another by Mark Gulley from Christianity Today. And his is Yawning at the Word. And they're complaining because those who come to church, they don't want the minister to give too many scriptures. Hurry and get to the point and summarize it so we can get out of here. So now you see the end result, the end fruit of Protestantism and Catholicism. Let's come to Isaiah 30 because it describes it very perfectly. Tells the account while you're turning to Isaiah 30. In the article, he tells the account of a minister, or maybe it was even himself, who went to give a Bible study. And after the Bible study, the main deacon came up to him and said, well, if you give this again, don't give so many scriptures. So it's interesting why people don't know anything and why Protestantism is not in decline. It is in rapid collapse. Isaiah 30. Okay. Let's pick it up here in verse 1. Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who carry out a plan but not of me. See, you can't preach the gospel without the word of God. You can't teach the things of God without using scripture, you see. And who form an alliance. How about the ecumenical movement? Oh, yes, and something's going to happen to transform Islam temporarily to bring in a world religion, but not of my spirit. that they may add sin to sin. And remember when Protestantism started out, they had most everything right except Sunday. And then the holidays, even for a time. I think it was when, who was that in England? Oliver Cromwell. He outlawed Christmas and all the pagan holidays. I don't know if he was trying to enforce Christmas. And he actually beheaded one of the kings of England because of his arrogance and made his successor sign a document that the king does not have power from God to do anything he wants, which then helped open the way for the preaching of the gospel. But you see, that only lasted 20 years in England, see, because people cannot stand the word of God. All right, let's come down here. Verse 8. Go now, write it before them in a tablet, and note it in a book. So here it is. So that it may be for the time to come, forever and ever, and that means to the end of the age, the return of Christ. That this is a rebellious people. Yes, yes, you mentioned to them concerning, well, you know, Halloween might offend me, but it's all for fun. That this is a rebellious people, lying children. They are children who will not hear the law of the Lord. Very interesting indeed, isn't it? Who say to the seers, see not. Don't read prophecy, don't tell us. You know, when you come in to teach Sunday school class, be careful. Don't read too many scriptures. And to the prophets, do not prophesy to us right things, speak to us smooth things, prophesy delusions, so that we may feel good. You know, it's like all the ads on television. You show me one ad on television that is sad. Not a one. Nation is falling apart, crumbling down, and everybody's happy, 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 happy. Remember like that UPS ad? I'm happy, 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 happy. And then he found out a package wasn't going to be there when it should have been. I'm not happy, I'm not happy, I'm not happy. And then the clerk comes in and he says, well, you can have it deferred and have it delivered to where she is now. Everybody said then, I'm happy, I'm happy, I'm happy, I'm happy. And the recipient of the package said, when she got it at the house, I'm happy. Those things program people to not want to face the facts and truth of what is really happening. All right? So what they are in effect is doing here, verse 11. Get out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Now they'll get away with that for a time being. See, look at everything we have in all the major institutions in America. And they're getting rid more and more of Christianity. Verse 12. Therefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel. Because God knows. God understands. God knows what's in the mind of everyone if he has to at any minute, any time, anywhere. But he's given his choices and he wants to see what we're going to do. So he doesn't bring down a tyrannical government to catch you in every thought. He wants you to use his word so that you will have the right direction where you need to go, and you police your own mind, and you're responsible for your own actions. See, that's what God wants. But he has that capacity. Okay? Because you have despised this word and trust in oppression and perverseness and rely on them. Boy, if that doesn't sound like our whole society from top to the bottom, right? Yeah, just put in your notes there, Isaiah the first chapter. You're sick from the top of your head to the sole of your feet, wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Verse 13, therefore, this iniquity shall be as a breach ready to fall. And that's describing exactly what is going to happen. Everything is mounting up that way. and especially the more and more and more trillions of dollars that they are going to print. Swelling out in a high wall whose breaking comes suddenly in an instant. Now, I remember when we were up in Salt Lake and I had to drive up to Utah, drive up from Utah to Wyoming and into eastern Idaho. So you come up eastern Idaho, and then after you get through the cities there, there's the road that goes to Jackson Hole, Wyoming. Okay? And, of course, there are the Teton Mountains. And Teton Mountains, they are really tall when you're on the Jackson Hole side looking west. But as you come from west going east, they are raised up this way at a more gentle slope. And then when you get to where Jackson Hole is, the face of the mountains go up like this, very steep. Now, as you're coming in, you have to come in the valley because the valley comes around this way. And as you get outside of the last town going north and going east in eastern Idaho, there is the Teton Dam. Now, this was a very interesting dam because it was one of these earth dams. And you come along, and the highway comes up like this, and you come up around the top of it, and all of a sudden, whoo, here's this lake going 30 miles back, clear all the way to Jackson Hole. And every time I would go up that, I would think, what would happen if there was an earthquake and the dam broke? Well, it did. That dam broke, wiped everything out. And I think that's the best description that we can have here. And it starts with a little leak, not discovered, and it erodes away, and it erodes away. And then you get a lot of rain, and you get a lot of stress on it. And then all of a sudden, the dam goes poof, and trillions of tons of water come crashing down, wiping out everything in its path. No one had any warning. All of a sudden, it was there. Boom! Well, that's going to happen to us. That's why we have got to stay close to God. Now, notice how it's going to happen here. Whose breaking comes suddenly in an instant, and he shall break it as the breaking of the potter's vessel that is smashed to pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the fragments a shard to take fire from the hearth or to take water out of the pit. Now here's the key, verse 15. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved, and in quietness and hope shall be your strength, but you were not willing. All right, let's go on. Let's see how Jesus brings this out in Matthew 13. And people do not understand this. They think, Matthew 13, they think that the Bible is like any other book, and they think that the Bible is full of myths, and they think, and they've been told from the pulpit, and of course the Catholic Church has to perpetuate it because they have no authority over the Bible unless they perpetuate that it was by word of mouth for 200 or 300 years, and then they canonized it. Not so. They didn't canonize it. That's why with the Bible that we put out, how was the Old Testament canonized? How was the New Testament canonized? How did we get it? How can we depend on it? Etc. Okay? Matthew 13. Here's where Christ was speaking in parables. And of course, the Bible, unless you start with the easy-to-understand verses, can be very hard to understand. Okay? Now then, how about if you're like these people, oh, give us a nice verse or two and we're out of here. I've got a date for the golf course. Oh, I got an afternoon football game. Whoop, I got a mid-afternoon hockey game. Oh, I've got to take my kids for this thing. Oh, my daughter's a cheerleader. She's got to be there. See? All of those things. And what has Satan done with the Sabbath? Filled it with activity starting Friday night, at all the parties, all the dancings, all of the night clubbing, all the drinking, all the drugging, and all of this sort of thing goes on starting Friday night, and then all the sports on Saturday. Okay? So those in the Church of God are happy that football, for professional football, is on Sunday. Okay. So they wanted to know, why do you speak to them in parables? Verse 10, Matthew 13, now verse 11. And he answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. And there is a warning for those in the church as well, correct? Yes, indeed. For whoever hasn't been given, verse 12 now, for whoever has understanding, to him more shall be given, and he shall have an abundance. But whoever does not have understanding, even what he has shall be taken away from them. So he speaks in parables. And here's why. Because the people don't want to hear. They automatically blind their eyes and their minds and stop their ears. Okay? For this reason I speak to them in parables, because seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, in hearing you shall hear and no way understand, and in seeing you shall see and no way perceive. For the heart of this people has grown fat, as well as the rest of their bodies. And the ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. Don't read it to us. See? Yes, so what does that produce? What did Jesus say it would be like? Look at all the things that are going on today. Look at all the difficulties and problems that occur. Yes? Okay. Question is, how does it apply to ministers? Whether Sunday keeping or churches of God and Sabbath keeping. If you do not maintain a daily relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ, for all of us, through prayer and study, then things will begin to drift away. And when that happens, we'll talk a little bit about the Laodiceans when we get closer toward the end here. But yes, even the understanding that they have will be taken away. All right. Now, let's go on. What did Jesus say of the last days? What would they be like as it was in the days of Noah? And what was that like? The earth was filled with violence and corruption. Is that happening? Yes, indeed. Let's see the cause of it. Let's come here to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, the third chapter. Now, we've covered some of these verses before. But let's see. What is the main cause? 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1. Know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. And Jesus said they would be what? The worst time since the creation of the world. So, and thinking about how I felt beat up by the news that was going on, I thought to myself, how are you going to stand up when it really gets tough? Now, how tough is it going to get? Anybody remember the riots in Greece? The riots in Cyprus? Well, so we better stay close to God. Now, verse 2. Here's the cause of it. Right here, verse 2. For men will be lovers of self. And we have that epitomized in almost all of the politicians today, with the exception of a few. There are a few trying to do right. There are a few Protestant ministers trying to go against the flood of all the ecumenism and the and the immorality that is coming into the churches. Okay. A few. But unless they quit their Sunday operation, they're never going to do very much. Just apply a little whitewash over it. And they get into a desperate situation because if they own a building, you know, remember those mega churches they had in the 90s? Boy, they could get loans just bang like that, and they built these big mega churches. Well, guess what? Attendance is dropping, 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 dropping. So how do you get people to come? Well, you appeal to carnality, and you need the money because you still owe the bank. So it becomes a terrible problem for them. And today, especially the young people, they don't want anything to do with God. They don't want anything to do with church. Church? Hey, I want to go have a party and have a good time. See? And we can throw in at all the media devices that we have today. And a lot of people have cell phones. Okay? Cell phone is not evil. Television is not evil. It's what you watch and it's what you do with it. So you have to ask yourself this question concerning a cell phone if you have one. Is it a blessing or is it a curse? Because just like good things can come over your cell phone, all the worst evil in the world can come over your cell phone as well. So again, it's a matter of your choice, but it's all lovers of self. Everything for me, everything that I could take. Lovers of money, and it's on both ends. How many here have watched CNBC, American Greed? Okay. You go watch that. There are con men out there, and every time, I've watched those programs off and on for quite a while. And they say, well, he was so sincere. Well, he was so convincing. Well, how much money did you lose? All of it. How much was it? $300,000. And they've even had church scams. And one of the worst of them was they went to all the black churches down south and said, you know, and these are the poor black churches that need money. Here's how you can make money. And he set up this Ponzi scheme, and it collapsed. Because there are people who are liars for themselves, who are thieves and robbers, and there are people filled with lust that want money. So there's always someone to say, there's more to be had. Okay? All right? And when I talk about that, think of the bankers. Braggarts, look at any of the sports. Proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, boy, without natural affection, implacable, slanderers, without self-control, savage, despisers of those who are good, betrayers, reckless, egotistical, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And now they're even dropping this, verse 5, having an outward appearance of godliness. They just don't care anymore. And look how much out there is with Satan the devil, okay? But denying the power of true godliness, okay? Let's see some more things which help us understand what needs to be done. Now, for those of us, here's a good one. Let's come to Luke 13. Lots of times, you watch the news, you look at the things, see what is happening. Luke 13. And we see the difficulties that come along, but also here is a really good explanation of how a lot of people think and how when disasters come, we like to rationalize why it happened to them and why it didn't happen to us. Have you ever done that? So Jesus covers that here. Now, at the same time, there were present some who were telling him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Do you suppose that these Galileans were sinners above all Galileans because they suffered such things? No, I tell you, but if you do not repent, you shall likewise perish." And that is the key, repentance. We'll see that as we go along. Verse 4, there's 18, on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them. Do you suppose that these were debtors above all men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But if you do not repent, you will likewise perish. Okay? Now let's see how that works. Let's come here to Micah, the 7th chapter. Micah 7. Okay, pick it right up here in verse 1. So here is where we are in the society today. Micah 7, verse 1. Woe is me. That's what I was saying yesterday after watching all this stuff on the news, okay? And last year, I got 19,000 emails saying nothing of letters. And a lot of those are news reports. Okay, and I had a whole stack. I went through them this morning, and as I was getting ready for the sermon, Dolores came over and said, "You're not going to read all those, are you?" I said, "No, I'm not going to read them." But there were stacks, just stacks. And I've got to clean off my dresser. I have a stack here and a stack here and a stack here and a stack here. And a lot of them are some of the 19,000 emails that I got last year, okay? So I felt, woe is me, for I am like the gathering of the summer fruits, like the grape gleanings of the vintage. There is no cluster to eat, but my soul desires the first ripe fruit. The good man is perished from the earth. Where are you going to find anyone who is good? I know. Start in the Senate of the United States. Oh, no. Go to all the bureaucracies of the administration, especially HHS. Yes. There is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. Each one's hand hunts his brother with a net. They use both hands diligently to do evil. The ruler asks for a bribe. Oh, yes, will you please donate to my re-election campaign? How much would you like? Well, a couple hundred thousand would really be good. All right, what are you going to do for me? Well, you tell me what you want. Okay. And the judge for a reward. And the great man speaks the evil desire of his soul. Thus they weave it together. The best of them is like a briar, and the most upright is sharper than a hedge of thorns. The day of your watchman and your punishment comes. Now they shall be confused. How bad is it going to get? Verse 5. Put no trust in a friend. Put no hope in a guide. Keep the door of your mouth from her who lies in your bosom, especially if you aren't married. And most people are living together. And that's one of the great sins in the so-called Christian church today. They're not preaching against live-in fornication. Oh, well, that's okay. You intend good. The son dishonors the father, the daughter rises up against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies are the men of his own household. Therefore, I will look to the Lord. Now, that's what we need to do to keep our senses in perspective, see. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Don't have to worry about the enemy, okay? Now, what can be done? Let's come here now to Jeremiah, the 6th chapter. Jeremiah 6. Let's pick it up in verse 13. Jeremiah 6 and verse 13. Now, remember when the food stamp thing went down for 2 hours? Did you see that on the news? All food stamps, and they have the card, went down for 2 hours. And there was no limit. So what did the people do? In Walmart, they got cart after cart after cart. Instead of buying food to tide them over, they put in flat screen televisions, clothes, everything. No limit. Now, these are the wonderful people that are just down and out, and we are trying to help them. Okay? Yes. We condemn the bankers because they're greedy. Well, it happens in Walmart with the poor. If they have a card, are they going to be honest and say, well, maybe something happened? No, they said, hooray, it's down. Let's buy everything and get out of here before it comes up. Okay? Verse 13, for everyone from the least of them even to the greatest of them is greedy for gain. And from the prophet even unto the priest, everyone deals falsely. They have also healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed. They were proud of it, and today they get on television. Yes, indeed. Nor could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among those who fall. At the time that I punish them, they shall be cast down. So it's going to happen. We need to be prepared, first of all, spiritually, so that we're strong in the Lord. Then we need to be prepared to a good degree physically. And as I have warned concerning money in the bank, be very careful, because the day is going to come and they'll close down the banks, and you know it's going to be Friday. And just like in Cyprus, they closed it for 2 weeks. And everything over a certain amount, and you can read it when you go to put your check in the bank, unless you take your picture of your check and do it that way. They have it that way now. Okay? It says every depositor is insured to $250,000. Okay? Now, I know all of you have a great deal of money out there in your bank, so be very careful. No. See? Okay. Let's go on here. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see. Here's what he tells them. Ask for the old paths where the good way is and walk in it. Oh, no, don't read to a scripture. And you shall find rest for your souls. But they say, we will not walk in it. I also set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the ram's horn. But they said, we will not hearken. How many warnings have we had? I started talking about the banking system 15 years ago. And I know there were some people in the church at that time that had close to $500,000 in the bank. I don't know what they did with it. I don't advise them. I only heard this from those who deal with them, okay? And they were afraid to take the money out of the bank and put it into real money, gold and silver. Because we don't know what's going to happen. Well, you just wait. They wouldn't listen. Verse 18. Hear therefore, O you nations, and know, O congregation. That's the church of God in the midst of it, okay? What will happen to them? Hear, O earth, I will bring evil on this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened to my words, nor to my law, but have rejected it. So that's where we stand with all these things today. Now we'll come back after a break and see what we need to do and what they need to do.